Last week, Pastor Nelson reminded us, I think he used the number 7,500 of God's promises. And then he rewarded us with a great time of fellowship over at the barn party. And today, if you closely listen to the scripture, you will understand why we enjoy God's promises so much, because they're there whether you claim them or not. He put them on the table and you can pick them up and use them, anchor them in your heart, and help remind yourself when things get tough, God still has those promises to give to you. So listen as I read his word. It's from 2 Peter 5 through 11. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you that we could come to your house today. We thank you that Pastor Nelson set today's lesson up with last week. And we just see how much God's involved with us. We need to build our relationships and honor him with all we do and how we treat others. So, Father, just help us to hear your word clearly today, and then use those promises to help other people and promote you as their Lord and Savior, should they choose that. So, Father, all these things I pray in your Son's precious and most holy name. Amen.
Last week, I gave you a challenge, and that was to come up with one promise out of the 7,500 and try to apply it. I was going to ask for a raise of hands, but maybe I won't. I've only had one person report back that they did that assignment. Mindy, you get a gold star, front of the class. But the truth is, unless we take and use these promises, what good do they do, right? So that was my encouragement to do that. If you're new here and don't have a mailbox and would like the sermon notes, every week we have sermon notes, please see me and I'll make sure that they are available to you. So, from believing to breakthrough. Belief that leads to action produces breakthrough. Growing in godly character confirms our calling and opens the way to fruitful and a secure life in God's kingdom. Now, several weeks ago, Kim and I were sitting around one evening and we were trying to decide what we were going to have for supper. Sorry, progressives, we still say supper. And we both agreed that we wanted to have pizza. Well, you know, no one goes to a pizza store to buy pizza anymore. There's an app for that, right? In my opinion, Domino's has the best app. They have this funny little feature. It's actually kind of unique. It's called the Domino's Tracker. And it actually tracks your pizza from the time that you order it to when you pick it up. There's little red blocks. So when you order it, that first block lights up. And then the next block lights up. It's Susie is preparing your pizza. And then the next block lights up. Your pizza is in the oven. You know, you wait. You can almost smell the smells of your pizza, the bubbling cheese. And, you know, you start salivating a little bit. And then finally, the pizza comes out of the oven and the next block lights up. It's the quality check. Not sure what they do there, but it's a quality check. And then the final light lights up. It says your pizza is boxed and ready. And about that time, you're walking in the door. It's really a neat feature of their app. But you know, it's not the best part. The real marketing genius who created that app built into it this continual request to add to your pizza. You know, I ordered a large hand-tossed pizza. And then I pushed next, and it said, "Would you like to add toppings?" Well, of course I would. I put bacon and onions and peppers on my half and black olives on Kim's half and pushed next. "Would you like to add extra sauce?" Well, no, it has sauce. Next. "Would you like to add extra cheese?" No. Next. "Would you like to add double meat?" You know, I'm starting to think, where's the checkout button? I just want to buy a pizza. Next. "Would you like to add cheesy bread to your order?" No, I want a pizza. Next. Maybe next. "Would you like to add drinks to your order?" No, we have drinks in the refrigerator. Next. "Would you like to add desserts?" Wait a minute, that's way over the top. Desserts? Who would order desserts from a pizza shop? Lois, would you order pizza from a pizza shop? Desserts from a pizza shop? No. I just want a pizza. Well, that's where they lost me. I almost canceled the order and drove to the pizza shop. But in the end, Kim and I did enjoy a good pizza. And I'm thankful that we added the extras. Because yes, the hand-tossed pizza is the dough. It's the base of any pizza. It's the foundation on which all the toppings are placed. But without these added ingredients, sauce, cheese, toppings, it wouldn't really look like a pizza, would it? It wouldn't smell like a pizza. It's nothing that I would want to eat. In fact, you could even question, is it a real pizza? Well, Peter doesn't have an app in our text today, but he sure has caught the idea of this adding things. With a very deliberate and persuasive approach, he petitions his audience to add this list of spiritual qualities to their faith. He gives detailed instructions. And he answers the why and the how and the what of this order. Peter starts by explaining the key to these additions, and that is, the key is building on the foundation of faith. He says in verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." for this very reason. We have to break this sentence has so much in it, we just have to stop a moment and break it down. It starts, the first three words, was for this reason. For what reason? Well, the reason is given in the previous verses, in the message from last week. The reason is that God has given us everything we need to be saved. Now, let me just pause. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, He's knocking on your door. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you purpose in life. If you don't know Him, come up here after the service and see me. Let's talk about it. He has given us everything. He has given you everything you need to be born again, to be saved. And He has given us everything we need to live a godly life, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And that's not all. He's given us 7,500 promises from Him to us, personal promises. And so for this reason, for this very reason, we must perk up our ears and pay attention to what's to come in this verse. So make every effort. For this very reason, make every effort. Now, in the original language, this means to apply every possible effort, to bring your full commitment. There's a sense of urgency inferred, to be eager and to be zealous. Because of what God has given you, you need to make every effort. This make every effort reminds me of the effort it took to rescue 9 miners in 2002 from the Kew Creek coal mine in western Pennsylvania. You guys remember that story? Buried 240 feet below the surface, these men were trapped by millions of gallons of water that blocked their exit. The trapped miners were fortunate to find a little air pocket, 4 feet high, little area chamber, and they huddled together there, trying to stay warm and conserve oxygen. The outside rescue operation began almost immediately. Their first effort was to locate the miners. They used mine maps and sound sensors, and they drilled to find the likely location of these trapped men. And eventually they drilled a 6-inch wide borehole to where they suspected these men were. And when they sent down the air pipe, they heard tapping on the end of it. So they sent down a microphone and a light, and eventually they began speaking to these men via radio. And then began the arduous task of drilling a 30-inch escape tunnel through 240 feet of solid rock. They worked round the clock, switching drill bits, replacing broken equipment. Finally, 4 days later, all 9 men were raised to safety. These rescuers had made every effort to save these trapped men. Peter says, because of what God has done for you, you need to make every effort. So because God has given us everything, He answers the why question. And make every effort instructs us on how to do it. But what are we supposed to do? Add to your faith. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, if you're of the evangelical theology, you might become a bit concerned with where this is going. In fact, I saw a few concerned looks out there. You might be thinking, I thought our gift of salvation was free. I didn't think that we needed to work for it or earn it in any way. Well, let me put your minds at ease. You are correct. In the evangelical world, we do believe that salvation is by faith alone and in Christ alone. This is dogma theology in the evangelical church. It's non-negotiable. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." So we can never work for our salvation or be good enough to earn it. Let's get that clear. Well, then why is Peter suggesting that we add to our faith? First, let's clear up what Peter means when he says the word faith. Now, we can have faith in a lot of things. We can have faith in systems and in people, in materialism, even ourselves. What does Peter mean by the word faith? Add to your faith. Well, earlier in this book, if you remember in verse 1, as he makes the introduction of who this letter is written to, he says this, "I am writing this letter to those who have obtained a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The faith Peter is referring to here is your personal belief and commitment to the gospel. It's the trust you place in Jesus Christ for salvation. Peter says, add to your faith. Why then does Peter demand us to add to our faith? Well, let me just acknowledge that throughout Scripture, there has always been this tension between faith and works. There's an undeniable relationship between faith and works. The two must exist together in the believer's life, but they must exist in the proper manner. James, in his book of James, wrestles with this tension between faith and works. He argues in verse 18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have deeds.' Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show my faith by what I do." So back and forth this internal discussion goes. "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" And he ends this internal discourse in verse 26 by saying, "So faith without deeds is dead." This tension is largely what contributed to the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. And we still have discussions and debates about it today. But notice, Peter says, add to your faith. Faith is the foundation. It's the trusting belief in God and His promises, especially in the gospel message. This faith is what saves us and brings us into right relationship with God. It is the foundation on which all good works are built upon. Works are the evidence. Good works, actions, behaviors, and godly qualities naturally flow from a genuine faith. They show that faith is alive and active. Michael F. Byrd, the author of Evangelical Theology, says it this way, "Pursuing holiness and doing good works is not the basis of our salvation. Rather, it is the appropriate response to salvation and the outworking of salvation in our character and conduct." You see, works strengthen faith. Living out faith through action deepens understanding and commitment. It is evidence of our faith. Scripture clearly declares that faith and works are inseparable. Faith saves and empowers, works demonstrate and confirm. One completes and validates the other. Faith is like the pizza dough. It's the foundation. Good works are the toppings that naturally follow and make the whole thing complete. You can't have a real pizza without both. And likewise, genuine faith will always produce good works. What Peter is calling the reader out to do is to mature in their newfound faith. He's saying there is a responsibility that we share in our calling and election. As American Christians, we can sometimes make the incorrect assumption that when we accept Christ into our heart, that spontaneously and with no cause of our own, bright red shiny apples just show up on our spiritual branches. If that's our view, Peter quickly puts that to rest. Peter proceeds to give us seven spiritual qualities that we are to make every effort to add to our Christian faith. In other words, we are responsible. We need to take the initiative. Yes, God has given us everything we need, but we are the ones that need to pick up the tools and start adding. When we add these seven qualities to our life, it paints a portrait of Christian transformation. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Clement of Alexandria, a Greek philosopher and theologian who lived in the second century, saw this as a ladder of spiritual ascent. The order reflects spiritual growth and maturity, moving from inner faith to outward love. Each quality builds on the previous one, forming a kind of staircase of transformation. See, the first three qualities are really internal transformation. Peter says, make every effort to add goodness. Well, goodness is moral excellence. It's living with integrity, doing what's right and honorable. Make every effort to add knowledge. This is spiritual understanding. We talked about this last week. It's growing in understanding of God's truth and His will. It's developing a relationship, active knowledge. And then make every effort to add self-control. We all know what that is, right? It's personal discipline, mastering one's desires and emotions, living with restraint. The second group of qualities indicates enduring transformation. And these qualities really can't be present unless the first three qualities have happened and are in place. These enduring qualities lean on and depend on goodness, knowledge, and self-control. Peter says, make every effort to add perseverance, steadfastness, patient endurance in hardship. When things aren't going right, we keep level. We know our destiny. We know who we are in Christ. And add godliness, spiritual devotion, living in reverence to God. Unless we understand who God is, unless we have an experiential knowledge of God, we won't have a reverence for Him. The reverence for Him will help us live godly lives and to make good choices. And the final group of qualities shows an external transformation. They are built on and are possible because you've developed a relationship with God. You have a reverence toward God that motivates you to control your emotions and your desires. Peter says, make every effort to add brotherly affection. That word there is Philadelphia love. You know, we're familiar with phileo love, which is a friendship love. But this goes a step deeper. This is family love. This is the love you have for your siblings, for your mom, for your dad, for your children. It's a love that just extends a little more grace, right? It's a little less judgment. It's I have your back. Siblings will often say, I got your back. It's Philadelphia love. It's brotherly love. And that's the kind of love we are to add as we fellowship together and as we live together. And then the capstone of this list is agape love. This is the complete and total love. This is unconditional, Christ-like love. It's the highest form of love, selfless, sacrificial. Now, this may feel like a daunting task of lists of things to add to our faith. It may feel overwhelming, like there's no end in sight. Many times in life, we just feel like we want to push the place order now button, get our pizza, rather than working through the arduous task of ordering and adding to. The Domino's tracker may take 7 to 10 minutes from start to finish. Our spiritual journey of adding these qualities takes a lifetime. It doesn't end until our time on this earth is over. We must always be making every effort in our transformation. Just like the rescuers at Kew Creek, they did not stop their efforts until the miners were rescued. So we too must continue in the effort till we reach our final destination. Peter seems to understand this command is a tough one, to make every effort to add these qualities. It's a big ask. And he knew from experience this was a life-consuming effort. And so he brings some motivation, he brings some encouragement, he exhorts his readers. Peter knew that adding these qualities to your faith will bring breakthrough. Look at verse 8. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the action phrase, increasing measure. We are not only to possess these qualities, but we are to possess them with increasing measure. There's no room here to settle or be complacent. I believe Peter understood this relationship between faith and works. Faith and works are inseparably linked. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We merely need to infuse a little bit of deductive reasoning here, and we can make the conclusion that if there is no spiritual fruit, that person is not remaining in Jesus. Peter wanted his readers to know that the bright red shiny apples don't just automatically appear on your branches. If you are not growing in these spiritual qualities, you are not progressing. You're falling back. Peter understood how difficult it is. That's why he implores us to make every effort. It doesn't just happen. He knew that as believers, if we deliberately make every effort to add these spiritual qualities to our faith, we would stay connected to his divine power, and our relationship with him would be nurtured. The results of the rescuers at Kew Creek were obvious. They saved 9 trapped miners. What are the results of our efforts to add these spiritual qualities to our lives? Well, they're twofold. First, they're internal. We will take on his divine nature. We will remain in him. We will become productive and effective in his kingdom. It will keep us from falling away, and we will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom. Externally, we will bear spiritual fruit, and this spiritual fruit brings glory to God. John 15:8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Jesus said on his Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Peter encourages us with these outcomes, but we all know that all good instructions come with a warning, right? Don't poke your eye with a screwdriver. Don't pour gas on an open flame. We get it. Well, Peter includes a warning in his instructions. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, He is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. That's the warning. Now, we think of nearsighted as being able to see up close, but everything in the distance is blurry. But in this passage, it actually means the opposite. The Greek word used here means to see dimly or to see only what is up close. In other words, if a believer does not have these qualities in increasing measure, that person has become so absorbed with their own cares of this world and their fleshly desires that they have become spiritually blind. Well, how can a believer, someone who's accepted Christ, find themselves in this position? Well, Peter states simply, we forget what we've been saved from. We forget our depraved state. We forget the incredible sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for our sins. We forget that without that sacrifice, we are eternally separated from God. And we forget how horrible that scenario would be. We forget that there are 9 miners buried 240 feet below the surface. That's why there is such urgency in Peter's plea. Make every effort to add these qualities to your faith. It will keep you from becoming complacent and indifferent. It will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Yeah, it was hard work rescuing those 9 miners from the coal mine. The rescuers made every effort. It took the cooperation of the whole team. And for you and me today, adding goodness and knowledge and self-control, perseverance and godliness and brotherly love and love to our faith is hard work as well. It will require every effort. But we have no other choice if we are going to be effective and productive for our heavenly kingdom. Our Heavenly Father, through His divine power, has given you and me everything we need to be saved, to be reconciled to Him. But if we're going to move from believing to breakthrough, we need to make every effort to add these spiritual qualities to our faith. He has given us everything we need for a life that's pleasing to Him, to mature and to bear good fruit and do good works. He has given us so much. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? This morning, will you choose to add the extra ingredients to your pizza? Will you make every effort to add these spiritual qualities to your life so that your friends and neighbors will know that you're the real deal? I encourage us this morning to move from believing to breakthrough. Peter concludes our text this morning with these reassuring words. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks for your attention. May God bless His word. Worship team, come lead us in the final song.